still looking at the same subject. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5.
Can you say that again, please?
First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Sorry. Let's say it hard enough. Let's put it in. Before we do so, let's go to the Lord in one prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be back here this evening. We thank you for the services today, Father, especially for your word that's gone forth. Just be with the prayer requests, especially with Brother Campbell helping to get better and positioning to be back up on his feet and be able to be back in services. Be with Jean and with their Father together. And I thank you for service this morning. Thank you for the message, classes. Father, ask you to be the teachers now this evening. Help us all be attentive to your word, Father, and especially with those that are lost and haven't accepted your son yet, Father. Be with us through this evening and through the name of the week, Father. It's to a point where we can stay close to you in our prayer life and study your word, Father, and be with it. Prayer request, be with the word, be with those that are sick. Might lay your healing hand upon them. We ask you to see your son's precious name. Amen. So last week we started looking at the membership of the church. And we're going to pick up again there. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it said, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." I also want to look at verse 9 along with this. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So, we looked at last week how we were a spiritual house. We looked at 1 Peter 3:15, how we make up the house of God. Not being the church, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. But now we look at, we are lively stones. Church members are the building blocks of the church. We are made alive or regenerated at salvation. You know, that new eternal spirit. So we are the lively or the alive stone. If you look at verse 5 here, "He also as lively stones," alive. And being alive infers being active or working, not being dead or still and not doing anything. So as lively stones, we should be active. We see here also, church members must be a holy priesthood, here in verse 5. And holy priesthood. Also, verse 9, I looked at a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, again, in verse 9. Holy means morally or religiously blameless, consecrated, or pure. So, as a stone, are you that? Are you living that way? Some of the benefits, I always go back and compare to the tabernacle. As church members, as those lively stones, we have the same benefits that the tabernacle priests had, able to go directly to the throne of God. Hebrews 4, Hebrews chapter 4, since we're close here, let's jump over that. Seems to use this a lot. Hebrews chapter 4. For the wrong, if you can read verses 14 through 16.
"Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
If you think about the priests that are in the tabernacle, they could only enter into the holiest of holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. offer the sacrifice for himself and also for the people. For us today, we can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime we need to. And we don't have to, we look later, we don't have to bring our sacrifices to another person and have them those sacrifices made. We can again, there's no one between us and God other than Jesus, the mediator. So when Jesus died and rose again, we removed that, tore that veil of the temple, or the tabernacle, I should say. It was a temple at the time, but in my mind, opening it up, and we can go and come directly into the presence of God because of what Jesus has done, made it possible. Another benefit, we are able to understand the Word of God as the priests were in that candlestick illumination. Remember that candlestick in the tabernacle? It gave life and everything that was going on in there in the service and the worship of God. And for us today, we have the Holy Spirit that's able to illuminate, so to speak, what we should be doing for God in our service and also in our worship. In John 14:26. Sister Shelley, can you read John 14:26? The Comforter is going to teach us and bring all things to our remembrance. Whatsoever the Lord has said unto them, whatever he's taught them. So the Spirit helps us understand the Word. And is the Comforter given just to anybody? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We all know that we have the Spirit in us at the point of salvation. Speaking of a different function of the Spirit here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you was the Comforter coming to the church after the Lord had ascended up into heaven. Open up here in John, the Comforter coming. Comforter could not come until Jesus left. And that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is one of the verses showing that would happen. Psalms 37:17, the verses Josh showed me in the devotional a while ago. Psalm 73. You didn't show it to me, but reminded me it was there, I should say. Psalm 73. Verse 17. Again, showing as church members, we should have a better understanding of God's word, God's will, than those out in the world. Even just the Savior out in the world. Sister Roxanne, are you there?
Yeah.
Can you read that?
Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end.
The church is where we learn the all things spoken of in the commission. And not only that we learn, but we are the ones to be teaching it to those that come in, the new converts. So it's like the place in this world where we go know the things of God, experience the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is why, one of the reasons why. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, Sister Kathy, can you read verses 9 through 14? 1 Corinthians 2.
But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received the register of the world, the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. So hopefully we see here why the Spirit is able to help us understand things of God, especially as comforter and as us as church members. Because the things of God are not things of this world. God's mind is not, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways when it comes to the flesh. When we put the Spirit first, that's when we come to know the things of God, and as the Spirit leads us in the office of comfort. We are also able to, we saw that in 1 Peter 2:5, able to directly offer spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. I mentioned they're back in the tabernacle. They had to bring their sacrifice after inspecting it a number of days, making sure the right sacrifice, had to bring it to a Levite, there was a priest, and that man had to inspect it, get it through the gate. I'm not sure if the high priest was always at the gate inspecting animals, but and then that animal was killed, picturing Jesus' death for their sins. That sacrifice had to be made. There were steps, man had to intervene. Today for us, we can offer our spiritual sacrifices directly to God. Not through a priest, not have to go through a priest. So that's another benefit that we have today as church members. Like the priest of the tabernacle, we are to clean ourselves daily. For the tabernacle priest, remember, it was a physical cleansing that typified our spiritual cleansing today. You know, they had to cleanse at the labyrinth before they could enter in. Mm-hmm. Today for us, we are to spiritually cleanse ourselves before we enter in. And do it as a daily cleansing to keep ourselves in fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 shows us that. 1 John chapter 1.
With him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us.
Okay, thank you. And I'm looking at this as from a church member's perspective. This is something even as church members think, well, I'm saved, I'm a member of the church, I don't know, we just need to. That's where verse 8 comes in. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's a daily examination that we need to do. And let me go back to our text verse. Yeah. In our text, well, 1 Peter 2:9 said, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you catch here in 1 John chapter 1 that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, there in 1 Peter 2:9, he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's where we need to remain. Strive to remain. Because again, we can slip into that darkness if we don't. We are not careful as church members. So for church members to have fellowship with God, it takes a daily walking in the light of God, confession and repentance of sins, a daily spiritual cleansing, just as it was for those priests there at the Lowry. Then we go back to the phrase spiritual sacrifices again. That's in verse 1 Peter 2:5. He has also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That would infer that there is possible to have unacceptable spiritual sacrifices. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 6. Hebrews 13, verse 16, actually, I can't read my own writing, because I don't type it. Hebrews 13, 16.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
God wants us to do good. He wants us to live as good, be good lights in this world, as Matthew would infer, to live as Christ would, Christ-like, supposed to be that way. It's well-pleasing to God. So God demands a spiritual sacrifice of a life transformed from the world. And we're going to look at it later, but in verse 16, communicate, forget not, prayer is involved. Especially, if it was mentioned in the message this morning, prayer and study of the Word. We need God's Word. That's how He talks to us. Prayer is how we talk to Him. We're going to look at, in fact, let's go to verse 15 right now. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praises to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise for God pleases the Lord. It shows that we are putting him first. And he knows if it's from the heart or not, if it's just from our lips, our saying, but our heart isn't. Giving thanks to his name here in verse 15. Giving thanks to his name. We all know that all prayer must be done in Lord's name. Again, who are we going through to get to God? Jesus, mediator. So the prayer must be in his name for him then to take it on to the Father. All spiritual sacrifices must be offered according to the will of God on the basis of Jesus in order to be acceptable to him. Romans chapter 12, we know, looking at spiritual sacrifices, this is mentioned this morning also. Our lives are to be those spiritual sacrifices. Romans chapter 12, Sister Diane, verses 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, thank you. Presenting our lives in service to God, not to the things of this world. If you look, I wrote it down, it is the outworking of genuine faith in one's life resulting in good works. I'm going to act and live a certain way because I have faith in God and you saved my soul. My simple mind, that's how I make myself live a certain way. Not that, okay, because you could say, I'm obligated to God because he saved my soul. We could never do enough to repay what God has done for us. It must be done out of love and faith. You see, evidence, trying to tie it into James there, it's our works evident because of our faith, because that's why we live a certain way. And producing this living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it is just our reasonable service. It's not even the above and beyond. It is what is expected out of every church member. John 13. John chapter 13. Brother Calvin. John 13, verses 34 and 35.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to the other.
Okay, thank you. Again, this is another As church members, another, I'll say, obligation, responsibility, it's another indicator that we are truly children of God and members of one of his churches. We are to act a certain way with each other. If we do not do these verses, if we do not love others in the church, this is a commandment, a new commandment I give you. And this is not, if you feel like it, do this type of thing. It is one of our responsibilities as church members, a commandment from God. We are supposed to love each other. It is not normal in the world for a group of people that are not always blood-related to love each other. I mean, if you think about it, if you are a member of the Elks, for instance, you don't have to love everybody that's a member of the Elks. Or any other, if you think about any other type of club. So it's not normal. But again, it's not of this world, it's of God. And that is why Jesus says if we do love one another, the world will notice and see Jesus in our lives because of it. It is another indicator that we are not of this world. I mentioned this morning, ambassadors. This is not our permanent dwelling place. We're just passing through. But it's another indicator to the world. It's another witness, testimony, that we are different, that we are peculiar, looking there in 1 Peter chapter 2. When we do not love each other, we can't get along, when we have contentions, the world is just going to see another worldly organization when they look at us. It can see anything different than the Elks or any other religious denomination out of the world. So it's very important that we follow the commandment that God gives us here. And also in 1 John chapter 4, 11, go along with this. 1 John 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Excuse me. Love one another. Should have something to do that. Excuse me. So we should love one another again, showing us here. If God loved us, we should love one another because God died for me just as he did for little Ron, for Linda, for Sister Mabel. So if he loved them enough, love them the same as you love me, why shouldn't I love them? What this verse is trying to show us here. Alright, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Again, showing the behavior of church members and also the benefits. Sister Mabel, if you can read verses 41 through 47 of Acts 2.
When they that finally received his word and were baptized, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayers and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Okay. Hopefully you picked up on some of the things here. The attitude of the church members, how they conducted their lives, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Do we complain when we have to go twice a week? They did. They went daily here. Eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, having favor with all people. Sold their possessions, parted them to all men as every man had need. Had all things common. Backing up now, but do we have this attitude towards each other and towards the church? Or do we have the attitude of, what I have in mind, I'm not going to share it, I'm not going to share my time or my possessions, and I don't agree with those people there, and I have contention. intentions with them, and backbiting, and all the things that come to mind, the opposite of what these verses are portraying. You need to be careful of that.
Well, in the Old Testament, when they were gathering the materials for the tabernacle, the people had such a giving heart that they got too much stuff, and God had to tell the people to stop. We have enough. We have more than enough. But they had that love for, well, yeah, they were a family, but they were still, yeah, they were of the same father, but you know what I mean? They were a nation. So they weren't, like, so related to one another. I mean, they were marrying each other, so... But they all had that one mind, that one heart, like this is talking about. They wanted to move the Lord's work forward, and so they had that one heart where this stuff came from God anyway, so that's how we should see our stuff.
God hasn't changed. He was the same with the tabernacle as he is with here, the early church, and with us today. It's the same God. Wants the same thing. Expects the same out of us. So God expects church members to continue in the doctrines of faith, stay in fellowship with the church by being in one accord and praising God daily. I think a lot of times we leave that verse 45 off. Praising God is, you go through our day-to-day lives, we're so busy wrapped up with our things that are in this world that we forget to praise God. We're so worried about the things in this world. In Acts 20 and 28, we use this a lot also. I want to look at this time on what we should be feeding on. You know, by default, we're going to feed on the things of this world. But Acts 20 and 28, Brother Judd, you can read that.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which ye have purchased with his own blood.
So we are to... feed the church of God, which is feed the church with the Word of God. That's the thing we should be feeding on, not the things of this world, the movies and the TVs and the social media and everything. But we should be feeding the church and feeding the church. To be speaking to mature church members here, but even mature church members should be feeding on the Word of God. Nobody's above slipping, so to speak. Backsliding, otherwise. We need to be careful, all of us as church members, even teaching new converts, that we stay feeding on the Word of God. That we don't change our eating habits, so to speak, spiritually. Or we will spiritually decline or die if we do not. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and look further what Paul was telling church members how they should be. Back to Brother Ron, Romans chapter 12, can you read verses 3 through 21?
For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kind and affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, and patient, in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he have thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yes, thank you. So an exhortation from Paul here, really I apply it to how a church member should be, how a church member should live. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, that's humility, being humble, kind, good to one another. Verse 11, diligent. You know, you're not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How many of us, well, I just don't feel like doing anything, so I'm not going to do anything. I just don't feel like it. I'm not feeling it, so I'm not going to do it. You just don't be a slug. Just do it. Look for the Lord.
Well, that's where verse 9 comes into effect, where it says, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy.
Well, that strings attached.
Yeah, let it be godly love.
Yeah.
Where you may think they hate your guts, but you're gonna love them and you're gonna be nice to them and you're gonna, hey, if they need a bar your chainsaw, you're gonna bar your chainsaw kind of thing.
Just as if they're a family. Think about how you treat family.
Not worldly family, but yeah.
That example.
They are your new family.
Yeah, they are your family, but some people don't treat church members as family. Church family, that's what I'm trying to say.
Let it be real love.
Real love, yeah.
And if you don't have a real love for that other church member, you need to find that real love.
Yes. Verse 12, rejoicing. I'm just going to read rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So, we should be rejoicing, enduring, and prayerful. These are all the word verbs, action items. We should be doing it. Do we come in with a smile on our face for services? Do we have a good attitude because we're in the presence of the Lord? Or I don't have to be here, I don't want to be here. You know. People can read our faces. I'm sure Brother when he stands back there, we walk in. Somebody should pray today or something. It's hard to tell. Because of our faces when we come in.
But with that, Brother Doug's even also taught years in the past, I don't have to look happy to be happy.
Exactly.
I don't have to necessarily like you to love you either.
But when our faces match our attitude.
Think of Job. He looked sad. He was covered in ash.
Right.
But he still praised God. He still loved God. He still wanted to put God first. Some of us have bad days. We all have bad days.
Yeah.
We may not be cheery and happy and butterfly and posies when we come into the door, but if we're coming to meet with God on the inside, it'll be there.
Right.
We shouldn't just paste one on, right?
Exactly. We should.
You know what? If you are having a bad day, just say you're having a bad day. But I want
to
be
still
with you.
There are still things to rejoice in, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm
you come here with the intent to get cheery.
Bring that to the house of God.
Sometimes I come here in a bad mood and I leave better mood than I came with because I come here to serve the Lord like you're saying.
Right.
There's been some pretty, you know, tough times this last year, even stuff that I deal with kids, and it's like, this is where I come to be happy.
We should all be able to go home and say it was good to be rejoiced and say it was good to be in
the
house of God.
Especially
get something out of every service.
Okay.
Especially when you're having a bad day, this is the best place to be. You shouldn't say, you know, I had a bad day, I got a headache from work, I'm just not going to church, I need to nurse my headache. Well, this will be your ibuprofen.
This will be
it. It works.
Yep.
It's God's here.
Yep.
God's
that
healing.
Doesn't mean we should come to church sick.
No.
Well, not what I'm saying. You have a bad day, you're going to have a headache.
It's
you're going to be upset.
Yeah.
You're going to be angry, you're going to be frustrated.
Right.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't go to church. Now, if you're ill, that's different, but if you're having a bad day, come to church.
Yeah, we don't want to
let God fix you.
There is no better place to come in this world to feel better. Whether it's for me, even physically, I've times not feeling physically 100%. For somehow God makes me feel better by the time it's done at all.
We should do that.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I practically do that. The next verse tells us, though, we're to have brotherly affection and kindness. Preferring one another. Sometimes we come to church with a bad attitude and use that as an excuse to strike out and be mean-spirited, and that's not right either. Well, I'm not being classic, at least I'm being sincere. Well, sincerity don't mean anything.
That's right.
When you come into God's house, there would ought to be some temperance and some discipline and some honoring, not only God, because we come into His presence, but honoring His people, because we're in fellowship with them.
We're not,
according to the next verse also.
We're not preferring them if we lash out, or it's because I'm having a bad day, you happen to be, or you're going to bear the brunt of it.
That's, suck it up.
Sometimes that ends up almost being an excuse in a conflict that's perpetuated, and that's not right either.
We should be treating people here in the Lord's house better than people out of the world. And I'll bet you didn't treat your boss that way. You wouldn't. Sometimes
well, but he could fire you.
But yeah, but we should. But that's why we
come here. That's why we do it. That's what I'm saying.
We come here and trample each other because, for whatever reason.
We should be treating our brethren better than we treat ourselves.
Exactly.
If you see a brother in need, take from your own and give to help that brother. That's what we do from church to church.
That's what it says, deferring one another. That means I'm going to put somebody above me, myself. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to put them above me and myself. Now, verse 13, we should be giving to each other, discerning to the necessity of saints, giving the hospitality. Verses 14 and 15, I wrote down sympathetic. Bless them who persecute you, curse them, curse not. Rejoice at them who do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Are we sympathetic towards others in the body? When they're having a bad time, do we try to cheer them up? Or when they're having a personal issue, do we try to reach out? And also, verse 17, are we forgiving? Recompense no man to no man evil for evil, provided that he's honest in the sight of all men. Do we not hold grudges or try to get even? We hold bitterness. We should not be doing any of those things as church members. So hopefully we see in these verses a good outline of how we should be living, how we should be treating each other. Again, we are each ambassadors, not only of God, but of this church and this community. And we act on God beyond the world, in this community. Not only are we letting God down, we're letting His body down, His church down. We should be acting that way. We should be model citizens for this community. Especially not to the world, but also how we treat each other. Thank you for your input. Let's go ahead and do this.